You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by some great people who just happen to be like you. People that I need to thank from the bottom of my heart, like Typical Tyrant, Cornerforos, Matt Jans, Menach, Nicholas D, Nick Patrick, Rich M, Zerocio, Robert Y, Beef Squatch, Electric Mick, Clape HS, and Matthew D. Thank you to every single one of you. You too can join this amazing team and get some great perks for yourself starting at just $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone to check it out for yourself and join the team today. Hello and welcome to episode 138 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and boy howdy, do I have a special episode for you. Are you ready for a special episode? Are you? It doesn't matter. You're going to get a special episode whether you're ready or not. I'm really excited because I got to talk with my friend Run He Said and hear more about her story as a gamer and as a Hearthstone pro player now. And I'm just had a blast talking with her and so excited to share this with you all. She was in the heat of DreamHack Montreal when we talked. And so the audio is unfortunately not as great as I would have hoped. She was in the midst of preparing and in her team's house, everything. So you'll hear some background noise and stuff. But I know that you're really gonna love this content. It was genuinely a great time hanging out with her and hearing about her entire story. So before we get into that, though, I want to talk to you all about why I'm happy today. I'm happy because work continues to chug along. I'm happy because my family is great, as always. Actually, my two-year-old daughter, she's in her big girl bed now, which means that we basically just took the front cage part off of the crib. Is that what you call it? I don't know. First-time dad. She has just been so excited about that. We're still trying to get her to understand that you stay in bed until mom and dad come and get you. But still, just like so cute. My wife and I have talked a lot about how this stage is going to be one that we really, really miss. So just trying to soak up all of that. I've actually got my parents coming into town for a really short visit this weekend. So can't wait to get some time with them. And also got to hang out with my buddy Saucy Mailman earlier this week. So you guys know he's a streamer. And we found out a few weeks ago that we live in the same city. So it's like, hey, we should hang out and be friends. And we've got a Hertz Donuts nearby. I don't know if you know about Hertz Donuts, but imagine the most magical donuts in the entire world. And these are Hertz Donuts. They put all sorts of cereal on top of them. They've got insane flavor. Like, they've got the Homer Simpson, which is exactly the donut from Lard Lad. Is that what it's called? Lard Lad Donuts? They've got the Bart Simpson, which is Butterfinger. They have things other than Simpson flavored ones. Actually, I got just a straight up cookies and cream. It was like a chocolate cake donut just caked with Oreo bits on top. It was so freaking good. So I had a blast hanging out with him. It was more than just the donuts. It's good to have a buddy nearby who's kind of in the content creation stuff and Hearthstoning and whatnot. He's probably going to get me to play more Wild than I have in the past because it's pretty much all he streams is Wild Hearthstone now. So really happy for all of those reasons. News, we have yet again a week of crickets, and I'm kind of wondering if this is leading up into something big-ish. We're not going to hear about any new expansions anytime soon, but there are two things that I'm speculating and wondering about. One is that we're going to hear about the Hearthstone director, whoever's taking Ben Brode's spot. And I saw this from my buddy Deck Tech, that he noticed that they took down the position on the Blizzard Careers page for the game director position. So that's enough to make us wonder, but it hit me, I guess, on a second wave. Like, we haven't heard anything about that at all. And now there's sort of this lull so that it would set them up to kind of do something. So I don't know. We'll see kind of what comes from that. And the other thing I'm wondering about, this hit me today as I've heard some other podcasts talking about how things almost already feel a bit stale. I don't know that I would go so far as to say that. I would say that the feeling of the game of Hearthstone is a bit different than it's been before. And that's, a weird thing. I really like how the meta is shifting and cycling, so it's not just the same decks all month long. It seems like there are sort of waves that are crashing in, and then they're sort of retreating, and then there's a new wave that crashes, and that's a little ocean metaphor for you guys. So that part feels good, but the other thing I kind of wondered if we'll be seeing any of is some kind of new rotation. I think that probably for the rest of this year, we're going to see the three expansions that we're told, but I keep wondering if we're going to see like mini expansions, something like just one wing of an adventure where they release six cards or something like that. I feel like something like that is almost certainly coming this next year, but I kind of want, they could throw something in like that either this month or next month before the next expansion rolls out. That's probably an extravagant reach or ask, but I don't know. We'll see. Now we're getting to the point where if we've had 2 weeks in a row, I have to bring you new speculation for what could be coming, I suppose. But hopefully it won't last long. There were a lot of tournaments happening this past weekend with DreamHack Montreal and with the South Asia Pacific tournament. I don't know the exact name of it, but HGT, there was another event as well. So I'm sure there's some good stuff coming our way, and there's certainly something good coming your way here with the interview with Run, He Said. But before I get to that, I want to thank those of you who are supporting the show over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. If you haven't ever checked this out, if it's been a while, I would love it if you went and even saw it for yourself. If this is a show that you enjoy, that you keep coming back to week after week, something maybe you look forward to, supporting the show on Patreon is by far the best way to support it. And really, this is a labor of love that I love getting to do. But with the support on Patreon, I'll be able to do more for you guys. So if you check that out, look at the goals that are there and the rewards that you can get, like shout outs on the show, of course, as you've already heard, or exclusive content that's coming out every single week. I talked about the 90% win rate deck this past week with those $5 plus patrons. 90% win rate. Spoiler alert, I say in like the first 30 seconds, don't believe it when people say 90% win rates, but it actually was 90% win rate. Anyway, but all that kind of fun, engaging stuff that hopefully can help you make you a better player is available to you there. So go check it out, support the show, become a patron over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. All right, enough of me. I know what you really want to hear, and that's this great interview with Run. So let's go ahead and jump on over. This week, I am joined by a rising star in the community, somebody who has been really taken off in esports and on a competitive level. Man, I can't even talk. That's a great way to begin the 138th episode. I'm joined by Run, He Said. What's going on, Run?
Hey, DreamHack Montreal.
Woot! So, a little bit awkward with the timing of recording this. You're in the house right now getting ready for DreamHack, but this episode won't actually drop until right afterwards. So, I guess we just kind of have to voice that and say it's there. But, like, how are you feeling going into the weekend? Are things electric over there or what?
Yeah, I'm feeling really strong, bringing decks that played before. So, that's good to go in knowing that I actually know my decks.
Wow, yes.
So, yes.
Sometimes you kind of have to find that balance because you know that there are stronger ones, but I think that's very wise to go with the stuff that you really know deeply.
Yes. Yeah. In past tournaments, I've actually hit like new expansions and hit nerfs. So the last two tournaments that I've gone to, I haven't actually had a chance to run my decks all that much. So it feels good to bring decks I know.
So is it safe to say you feel better prepared for this one than any other tournament that you've been a part of so far?
Easily. Yeah, easily feel better.
Gosh, yeah, that's got to be like worlds then going into it where you just, it's good feelings all around. Nothing guaranteed when you're playing a game like this, but the confidence, the knowing it, that's about everything you can bring to the table. So, well, I'm really excited to have you on the show today, Run. We'll be talking a lot about her story. And so if you are not as familiar with her, you're going to get to know her. And if you are, hopefully you'll get to know all of the details and we'll be able to. I've really been excited because like we talked about, like before we hit record, like I've competed at one DreamHack event, but so I've dipped my toe in the competitive scene, but certainly you've seen some things and I'm really excited to hear from your experience and what you've learned, what you are learning in the process of doing this whole esports thing.
For sure.
But before we get into all of that, I wanted to hear a little bit about Little Run. So tell us about like your story. just as a gamer, how did you get into gaming in the first place and what got you into Hearthstone?
So I, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't much of a gamer. I did play Fable probably way more than I should have.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I loved Fable. Just loved it, played it a million times, and then played a little bit of Resident Evil. That was kind of until Hearthstone kind of was it for me.
Wow. So Resident Evil, what platform was that on that you played it? Was it PlayStation or GameCube or
Xbox? Nexion and I just talked about what I remember. So like maybe like Nexion will like tweet at me and remind me what the but yeah, so that was Xbox and so was the Fable. That was the only real gaming I did before.
So what intrigued you about Fable? Because I know that was huge when it hit the scene. What was it about that really got you into it?
Probably the mix of like the different skill levels and leveling them up and how it changed, you know, if you chose to be more like on the magic side, you know, versus if you were the magic and the bad, or if you went with strength and good or strength and bad. Like I really liked the developed and how that changed the storyline. Mm-hmm. So that was really kind of a cool aspect to the game and just all of them pretty much.
Totally. It was really the first of its kind to dive into that. So it really was like the game changes based off how you play and stuff. So now I wasn't a big Xbox guy back then, but definitely when Fable hit, everybody knew it and played it and had an opinion on it.
And I think that open world concept was new to me. Mm-hmm. Like, again, since it was the only thing, I never played like World of Warcraft or anything like that. And so I loved that, you know, they kind of, when they did like Fable on Kinect, they went back to kind of the track storyline and I didn't like it nearly as much.
Yeah.
So.
I there weren't many Kinect games that really made a lot of sense, unfortunately. But
I mean, it was still good in and itself.
Sure, sure.
Like if it had came first, I think I would have like really enjoyed it. But because it came after like the open world, like that's what it.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you want that? You know?
And then I mean, it was an okay game in and itself.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. No problem. Well, cool. So what was the story getting into Hearthstone then? How did this game come into your world?
So I was on the iTunes store on my phone one night and on the app on there and amended or something like that. So I was like, I'll try a tutorial and had a blast. And so it was right during One Night of Karazhan I found it. And so I played the solo adventures like really liked the solo adventure. So I didn't know like about the ladder or that there was a competitive side. I just wanted to play solo adventures. I know. And so I would go on the ladder without knowing that's what I was doing and play enough to get the gold. Uh-huh. And then I'd go back and buy the expansion. So I literally did that for like 6 months. Like get enough gold to buy all of One Night in Karazhan.
That's totally
and
fair.
So I didn't know, and so I was doing that for the longest time, and then like I started to realize that like you took decks and you could rank up, and I was like, oh wait, what is this? And so I tried to figure that out on my own. It didn't go very well.
So it sounded like this game really came out of nowhere. Had you had any history with like card games or Blizzard games or anything like that, or was this really your first foray into all those different spheres?
My first foray into anything. It was just literally happenstance.
Wow.
Or whatever.
That's cool. So. Well, no, that's really because I mean, Blizzard's known since the beginning that this was going to be a game that could attract pretty much anyone, and definitely a different audience of people who may not necessarily, you know, call themselves gamers or play a ton of games. So really cool that it started that way, and then it's grown into something that's pretty significant part of your life now.
Yeah. I feel kind of silly when I say it out loud, but that's how it happens.
That's really cool. Well, I'm really excited to hear more about that. But Run, before we get into that, I want to hear about why you're happy today. We got to start off every episode that way.
Gosh. So I am so happy to be at Montreal, especially with my team. It's the first time I'm meeting some of them. First time I'm like meeting the kind of the head of a lot of them. And so, and just the fact that it's kind of a dream come true to be able to do something you love and to get, you know, not paid, but like expenses paid for, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
still not bad.
To get to do that. I mean, I just feel so lucky, blessed, you know, that kind of thing. So
that's awesome. I mean, we probably do need to say, if you don't know, like, Run is signed to the, what's the official name for it?
So it's RBG underscore esports.
Nice. Okay. That's the official Twitter name then. Well,
RBG esports.
We'll hear the story of how you got involved with RBG and all that. But has it been like good as far as like dynamics with the other team members and stuff like that? Getting to know them, hanging out, prepping for the tournament, I'm sure, all that.
So that's been really cool to do. So my teammates are Innovation and Manny Show, and they're both really awesome. I don't want to like speak too highly of them because they're like not too far away and I don't want them to have big heads.
You know, but that doesn't do anyone any good.
They're both like really good players. And so I'm learning a lot from them as we've been prepping and, you know, like going on the ladder and talking out plays and things like that. Or just talking about deck lists and, you know, just the various things that we've done as a team. Mm-hmm. Have been really incredible. So
that's awesome. Well, cool. Well, I want to go ahead and just jump into this interview here. So talk to us about getting into Hearthstone and all of that. How did you get to a point, because you told us about how you got into the game, how did you get to the point where this is the game? Like, I've got to go more than just you know, beating up on Medivh and all that, but I want to get into the ladder, I want to compete. Where did that all come from?
So, and I haven't told you this before the podcast, but this is actually, you're part of my story. Andrew.
Oh, come on, Run, bring it then, please.
I know, right? And so I had been playing on the ladder unsuccessfully. I mean, like, I think one day I counted like 25 losses in a row.
Ooh, yep.
And I couldn't figure out what in the world I was doing wrong. Well, it turns out like I can't build your own deck list at rank 20. Like, it just doesn't work.
It's
that
tough,
way.
Yep.
And so someone took pity on me and was like, well, go on Twitter and you know, YouTube and Twitch and find some streamers and find people in the community and they'll help you, you know, learn. And so I went on to Twitter and I think you were the very first like person in the Hearthstone community that like friended me. And
dang.
So I like tweeted, I know, right? So I tweeted at you because I knew you did the Happy Hearthstone and asked for some suggestions on some podcasts and stuff to listen to. Uh-huh. And so I think you tagged like some people and then it just kind of blew up from there. And so like, I was like, oh, lots of people to follow that I can learn from. And so, you know, I learned like all the other podcasts and all the other, you know, people on Twitter. And so that was kind of, I learned a lot from that community.
Sure.
Learned how to build decks and go on the ladder and actually compete. But, and then I started watching the United Hearthstone League and really got into that. And what I was watching everybody else compete and I was at a point in my life where I was like, I just need something. I just want something for me to do. And I was like, I want this. Like, I love Hearthstone. I love playing. And I think I can do it. And so I decided that I was going to go to Austin. And so I even tweeted about that, like that I made that decision. And so I was like, I need a coach. Did some research, found a coach that like worked with my schedule and like was seemed legitimate. So I was like, I'm gonna do that. So I found Rob Bobson.
Nice.
So, and if you don't know Rob Bobson, he's on Twitter at Rob Bobson, I believe. But so he started coaching me, and my goal was I'm gonna go to Austin and I'm gonna hit legend. Those were my two goals. And okay. So went to Austin, was at rank 15, I believe, when I went to Austin and competed. And I did okay. I think I went 2-7, which was not nearly as good as I had hoped. Sure, but, sure. You know, I was really proud of myself because I went and I did it. And I'd made that a goal. And so, and then 2 months later, I hit legend for the first time. It wasn't quite 2 months, but I hit like not in the month that Austin was, but the following month I hit legend. So, wow.
15 to legend, no big deal. My goodness.
Yeah. So started at 15 and went to legend. So, that was incredible. I was ecstatic. I was literally, in my room, like screaming at the top of my lungs, jumping up and down because I had wanted it so bad and I couldn't believe it. And it just kind of like snuck up on me and I was like, oh my gosh, I did it.
Oh my God.
It was awesome.
So I know we probably have lots of listeners who hear that and they go, oh my gosh, 15 to legend. That's insane. I still can't break rank 20, you know, like, for you, I can imagine getting an individualized coach like that. And Rob Bobson's fantastic. Like that's such a huge thing. And maybe not everyone can afford that, but what was one of maybe the biggest things that you learned, in that process from getting to 15 to legend? What were some of the main things that really, turned up the heat for you, to be able to accomplish that?
I think that probably a couple things is, get like a coach, like having somebody else's perspective when you're playing, because like you see like one way to play and then like get, like when you have like a coach or a friend or somebody that is there, they'll be like, well, okay, but think out like three turns in advance, how is this going to play out? Mm-hmm. You know, or, you know, like Rob Bobson said, well, know your matchups, you know, like, and like, you know, he preached it, know your matchups, like what has AOE, what has, you know, what can deal with this on this turn, you know, and then, you know, what's coming on a big spell, you know, mage turn 5, like what is their turn going to be like? And so like, he really made me think outside of where I knew how to think. So, that was probably the biggest thing I learned is know your matchups was probably the biggest thing. But, just allowing someone else to kind of help mold your perspective, because there's lots of things that you may not see that someone else can teach you, I guess, if you will. So,
well, and even just anticipating your opponent's turn, that's so massive, because sometimes, you know, the obvious play that you think you should be doing for sure, would actually play right into whatever their thing is that they haven't done quite yet. So yeah, turn 5 from a big spell mage, you know that they can start clearing the board right away on that. So, that's a really good point. I'm sure, it's something I'm still trying to learn every single time, because especially as the meta continues to change, it's tough to exactly know and to count and, you know, just try to get the percentages right in your head of how likely are they to have this thing at this point, you know? So, that's really good.
And that's probably the other like biggest thing that I would say is that when you, like when I first started playing, it was all about like, what can I do this turn? When it really, my focus is what is my opponent going to be doing? You know, what is their game plan and what are they doing the next turn?
Right.
And so then like, you, and that's like how almost you do like the last year of standing lineup too, like you have to think about what are they going to do first before I make my move. And like when you get out of, when you start to begin to think about that, that's when I think you improve quite a bit.
Totally. That's great. Tell us a story about getting picked up by RBG. What happened? I know I've seen a little bit of the Twitter stuff around it, but I want to hear the whole thing. So tell us from your perspective.
Well, so very first round of DreamHack, I played Michael Schwan, and I don't know how to pronounce his Twitter name. It's like my Schwan, I don't know.
That's probably pretty close, I gotta say.
It's close. But anyway, so I played him and I won, and he handed me his card and said, you know, we're looking for Hearthstone players, we're looking to expand into Hearthstone, you know, give us a call. And I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of like, okay.
Is this how every DreamHack event works?
I was like, well, I was like, is it legit? Like,
sure,
like me,
sure.
You know, like me, I rank 15, me, I don't think so. Like, you can't be serious, you know, huh. That kind of thing. So
wow.
He was like, we're meeting with players, you know, like, call me, let's do this. And I was like, okay. And so, I didn't call that day. And I think he actually, I don't know if we exchanged numbers or what, like, I think maybe he reached out Discord or something, reached out to me again. And I was like, well, you know, let me think about it. You know, I don't jump into anything lightly. So let me think about it.
Sure.
And, I talked to Robomson about it and you know, a couple other like friends, and everybody's like, well, just go for it. Like, what do you have to lose? And I was like, well, okay.
When right. You put it that so, way.
I know, right? And so went through all the process and then signed up and just immediately like realized that I signed up with like a family. Like RVG has been amazing. They're always, you know, like, you know, they check on me when I'm going on flights, or, you know, they cheer us on when we're going into tournaments. You know, like, we're joking around with each other and just having a good time. So I'm really glad that I let other people convinced me to go ahead and do it.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad it's been such a good run so far. And you did mention you've competed at it was DreamHack Austin, and then was it HCT Oakland that you were at also?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. HCT Oakland. This will be my third LAN tournament with Montreal.
That's great. So tell me about that progression. You know, you mentioned you didn't do as well in that first time, but, you know, you did it. And now today you're feeling as confident as possible going into this. So what are the things you've learned as you've gone out to these different tournaments, things you wish you had done differently, and kind of what you're going into this weekend doing for sure?
So I literally had no idea what last year of standing was when I decided to go to DreamHack Austin.
Sure.
And we had like the nerfs hit 5 days before Austin. I don't know if you guys remember that, but that was insane. Like, and I was so frustrated because I'd spent all my like dust and gold, and like I disenchanted a ton of cards to make those five decks or those four decks.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Oh my goodness. And so Robinson and I were scrambling to figure out what can we still play, what's still going to be good in the meta, in the tournament meta. And so, like, the day before, Robinson's like, okay, now I have to teach you what last year of standing is. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean?
Just a little asterisk at the end.
Yeah. And so he taught me it on the fly. Literally went to the DreamHack and was not sure. Had to like just kind of pick it up from what that was, because there's a lot more strategy that goes into a last year of standing than a conquest. Because conquest, you can, like, once you win with the deck, it's done, it's out. But if you lose with the deck, you can play it again. So, but it's harder to like counter queue decks, because the winner will switch, obviously, but the loser can as well. So if they don't want to play that same deck, they can switch. Right. Well, in last year of standing, once you lose with a deck, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that you save the deck that counter cues a matchup. So in last year of standing, it's a lot like a rock, paper, scissors. So if you have a rock deck and you run up against a paper, then you're going to want to make sure that you have your scissor deck to beat it with, so sure, you don't want to queue up your scissor deck first and not be able to beat you know, if they bring their rock deck. So so there's a lot of strategy that goes into what do I ban, because they get four decks and they only get to bring three. Mm-hmm. So what do I ban, and then what do I play once I've chosen their ban? And you also have to think about, what are they going to ban with mine? So you have to know your matchups. You have to know, like, what's favored, what's unfavored. You know, so last year of standing, when I went in Austin, I had no idea. Just queuing up kind of what felt good over, like, what the data would have said. And a lot of the time, you know, what feels good isn't necessarily what's right.
Sure, yeah, totally.
As we know. Because we're Hearthstone players.
Absolutely.
But so this time around, I learned like a cool like grid trick. Grid trick from Robobson this time around, and able to like take in like ran a whole bunch of lineups against my lineup, and what was favored, what was unfavored, what was even, you know, just run that. And so now, like, I know, like, if I do this, this is going to be my ban, like, almost automatically. It's a lot simpler. At Austin, like, I would just kind of like stare at a lineup and be like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, but with this one, because of all the work that I've done with my team and I've done with like my coach and with other people that have helped me along the way, like I feel like so much more comfortable and ready to go in and be able to ban like with good confidence, and then also be able to play in the correct order. So
that's great. What's been the deck that you've had to spend the most time learning for this competition, like either for yourself to play or to play against? Like, what's the one that you feel like maybe you're still not even quite where you want to be with it?
So probably the most recent one, which is going to like hurt the hearts of many people, is probably the Quest Rug.
No, that's totally fair.
Well, because before playing it, like, I absolutely hated the deck. Like probably put a little bit of mad hate on Twitter for Quest Rug. Uh-huh. And so I felt so evil running it. But good against like control decks. Yeah, so
it's really good against control decks.
And so I've learned to play that, and it's actually kind of fun. Sorry to all my fellow, well, used to be fellow Questrogue haters. It's actually fun.
If you can't beat them, join them, right? Come on.
Right.
No, that's totally fair. And I know from experience, especially in a tournament lineup, you really have to think about what you're going to go up against, right? So, are you going all in on combos then, or are you kind of taking a little of this, a little of that? What was your thought in constructing your lineup for this event?
So I submitted a Death Rattle Hunter, a Quest Rogue, a Token Druid, and an Odd Paladin.
Nice. Okay.
And so kind of, I mean, we went round and round and round trying to figure this out. But the reason that we did that is because we felt like we would see split lineups with more control and more like aggro decks and a little less anti-control. So that's kind of where we went with that. So it should be interesting to see.
That's great.
That's probably the, like, what I don't think I ever realized would be the biggest part, but you have, your lineup is so important, and it will, like, determine how successful you are at the tournament day. I mean, it's not the most important, because obviously the way you play
is
the biggest part, but if you bring a, like, full on control lineup and everybody else brings you know, anti-control,
right,
you're gonna have a rough day.
You're what you're choosing to bring and your lineup strategy is, I would say, it might even be more important in a lot of ways. I mean, you, because most everyone coming to the event is going to have a solid level of gameplay, right? It's those multi-level mind games where you're trying to decide, like, here's what I really feel strongly like I'm going to see, and here's how I'm going to prepare for it. And you roll the dice no matter what, because there's no guarantee. But hopefully you rolled them correctly, and you end up getting the right matchups, and you can play it as best you can.
Yeah. While I have many critics of the decks I actually brought for Oakland, I made the correct read on what would be there. It's just I didn't have enough opportunity to play the decks that I actually brought. So that was kind of it. But I was really proud because I made the right read, but I wasn't good enough at the decks to make them work. So that feels good to make the right read, whereas I had no idea how to make a read. And then with Oakland, or with Montreal, we haven't really seen, everything that's been played has been Conquest, and so there's not really any good way of knowing what the tournament meta is going to look like,
right?
Because we don't have any kind of go by. Whereas like Oakland, we were able to look at, I think it was like Rio had happened like 3 days before, and so we were able to kind of look at Rio and say, okay, what was there? Sure. What did everybody bring? So
very cool. Well, I know we've probably got some people listening who are like, man, Run's so cool. She just jumped in this whole, you know, esports team and all that. I want to be cool too. What would you say for someone who maybe is aspiring or wants to, you know, join a team or compete more or anything like that? What would be your thing to get them over the edge to go out and try?
To get out and try. I'd say just believe in yourself. I know that sounds like really cliche, but like, don't like, cause I was always the type that held back because I was afraid of failing, I guess. And, and it, I still struggle with that, but, just getting out there, just saying it doesn't matter if I fail. I mean, honestly, what is it? Like a plane ticket, you know, a hotel room for the weekend and whatnot, but you went and did something amazing for, you know what I mean? Like just, you did it and you can feel proud of that, whether you go 0-9 or you win the tournament, you know, like you went out and made something happen. And the only thing you're going to do is grow from that experience.
Totally.
So that would probably, I know that's pretty cliche. The other thing I would say is having a support system behind you. I have been so lucky, to, like the people that I've found on Twitter and through the United Hearthstone League, like just having a really strong, like if I'm, you know, angry at the ladder, like I, you know, I post something on Twitter and like, you know, instantly I've got friends that are like, me too, we got this, let's go, you know, or like a direct message saying, hey, you know, you're a good player, you can do this, or you know, just every time I come to a tournament, you know, there are people like, we want to see you on the mage stage, you know, go Run go, and it just like, it makes you feel like I can do this. Like people believe in myself, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just like having a strong support system really helps as well.
Yeah, that's so great. Good words. Well, we'll kind of wrap things up with that. Are you, is there anything else that comes to mind as far as what you want to talk about with your journey or encouragement to anyone else?
No.
Are there any stories about your teammates that would totally embarrass them? No, I'm just playing. They're right there with you.
I actually like have the funniest picture of Manny Show that I like am gonna turn into a meme.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's happening. Like poor Manny.
We'll just throw that on Twitter, and then we'll be sure to retweet it into the Nether Sphere, and he'll become an icon in no time.
I like it. Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, we're cheering you on, Run. I mean, as some people are hearing this, we might know how you did already, but definitely we can't wait to connect and just hear about what you've learned and everything. We'll have to do a follow up sometime.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's great. Well, as we jump into our community section, no reviews or questions this week. So that means that we get to jump into the really good stuff, which is talking about a certain card. And I know you're super excited about this card, Run. Yes, but you know, and I know that we can't hop into this card until we hear what you got in those pipes of yours.
Oh, man. okay. So I'll play 1 or 10. This turn is cray. That bunny's a 10/10. Pogo Hopper is so great.
Yeah! That was awesome!
Shut up. No.
And hey, I bet that the rest of your team would have joined in. We probably should have gotten like the 5-part harmonies and stuff like that.
I know. Yeah.
That was a missed opportunity. Next time, I suppose. Well, hey, Pogo Hopper is from the new Boomsday set, obviously. A 2-mana 1/1 rogue mech minion. It reads, Battle Cry, gain +2/+2 for each other Pogo Hopper you played this game. So, Run, why did you choose this card? Is this been burning in your mind? Because I didn't hear this in your... unless this is like a sneaky quest rogue add-in or something, but tell us about it.
You have no idea how much I would love to see Pogo Rogue take off and work. However, in the aggro E meta, it would just get slammed, feel like. And I've tried to make it work, and like Cinderace tried to make it work. It's just people are trying to make it work. It's just not working in this meta. But I like if you know anything about me, you know I'm a Jade Idol girl. Like, one of the few people that actually loved Jade Idol. And so when it went to Wild, I was super sad because I don't get a chance to play as much Wild as I would like. Mm-hmm. And so when Pogo Hopper came out, I was like, heck yeah, there's a new card that's just like Jade Idol. Let's make this work. Just not yet. So I'm super excited about it.
What do you think it's gonna take? Like, what does Pogo Rogue do well against?
Not much at the moment. It's gonna, like, it needs time to build up, and you have to have a lot of moves. And so you're gonna need a slower meta to be able to make Pogo Rogue work, or you're gonna need some support cards to kind of help it get from point A to point B, if you will, to keep it. So I think it's probably gonna be a, like, the next expansion might give it some oomph, hopefully. Please, Blizzard, please listen to this and hear my request and answer it, please. They will. I know they will. And they'll name it after me. Like, they'll have, like, a character running, and it'll be, like, the Pogo Rogue.
Runny
card,
Bunny. Could that be a thing?
Oh, please,
I'm just saying.
Runny Bunny. I love it. That is so what it needs to be.
We'll figure out what it needs to be mechanic-wise, but I think that's an easy name. So.
All right, Blizzard, you've been tasked. but, yeah, so that's what I think that's going to be the thing that makes it work. Now, I have faith.
Now, one thing I did want to ask you, because I haven't gotten to play any Pogo Rogue yet, but when I first saw this card, I immediately thought, like, why isn't this just an auto include in Quest Rogue? Because, you know, you get the benefit afterwards of the bonus cards. Have you tried messing around with it at all in that deck, or is it just kind of, it needs to be its own thing?
I think it would be somewhat to the deck itself. I mean, you could get, like, the initial benefit out of it, but honestly, you have to think about what are you cutting to include it in the deck. And, you know, because you're wanting your Shard to freeze, you're wanting your Novice Engineer to give you card draw, you're wanting the Lifesteal 1-3 Charger. What is that little lizard guy?
The Vicious Scalehide,
Vicious Scalehide. You know, you want him to be able to kind of take things out. You want your Sonyas and your... The deck list for Quest Rogue, I feel, is a little bit tighter. I think it would be hard to benefit out of it. I mean, because you would be bouncing it back, but once you complete the quest, even if it's like a 12-12, you know, it's still going to go back down to a 4-4.
Yeah, that's true. So I didn't really think it through, because Pogo Hopper doesn't do anything additional other than become a big beefy minion. And everything in the Quest Rogue deck does something else. Like, it charges, it gains you life, it freezes something. Like, there's always something else. And so I guess the fact it doesn't do anything, it's just a big, stupid, big bunny on a pogo stick. But it's a cute bunny on a pogo stick, but it's...
Don't speak of it that way!
As the words left my mouth, I knew I needed to retract them. But no,
nowhere have you touched me.
It's funny, because with the Lab Recruiter, you know, it's got a pretty strong, you know, support system with that and the Elec. So we'll have to see with time if there's something else that can bring this little magical bunny further into our world and into our meta. Actually, I don't know if I really want that, but if you are a Jade Idol girl, then I'm sure you do. So
definitely want to see it. So.
Good call. Well, hey, Run, before we let you go here, I want to give you the opportunity to plug yourself, plug your team, anything else you want to. Anyone who wants to stay connected with you and see all your forays and find out how you did a DreamHack, how can they connect with you?
Okay, so best place to reach me is on Twitter. It's RBG_run_he_said. I think you can still type Run and he said, and it'll pull me up. Follow me on there, and then also I will start streaming next month. It's on the short list, so if you will go over to Run He Said on Twitch, you can follow me, and then make sure you click the notification button for when I start streaming. And then I do want to shout out my team, RBG Esports. You can find them on Twitter at RBG_esports. They are, you know, helping make my dream support you can throw their way, I would appreciate it. Give them a follow. They're also on YouTube, and they do right now, my team is in Hearthstone and Rocket League, and nice. They're looking to expand into other games. But if you do like Rocket League, go cheer on my teammates. They're going to be competing this weekend as well at DreamHack. Ooh, go team. And if you want to follow Manny's show and Innovation on Twitter as well. Those are two pretty cool guys. I guess I'll give them some credit.
I guess, you know, they come up with a deck every now and then that works or something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do the heavy lifting and all, but...
We know really how the team works, but... That's awesome.
Right.
Well, Run, thank you so much for joining me. It's great just hearing your story here in a little context. I mean, there's never any guaranteed formula towards success, but we all want to get better at this game and people who want to compete more. It's just helpful to hear how you've been down that road and maybe given a little clarity to some people. So thanks so much for coming and being with me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Andrew. It's been a blast.
My pleasure.
Bye, y'all.
So thank you again so much to Runny Said for being on the show and sharing your story with us. I'm sure all of you, whether you knew her before this episode or not, you just know she's a gem. She's a great player and so thankful she's a part of this community. I'm so thankful I played a part in her story too. I had completely forgotten about all that, but that was awesome. So Run, again, thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing your story. I certainly am inspired and I'm sure many other listeners are as well. And hey, as we close out this show, just want to remind you as always that you are the happy Hearthstone. This podcast exists for you. It's sustained by you. If this is something that you come back to every single week, I really want you to know it's all about you. It truly is. It's all about us coming together, shouldering our weight and creating something great for the community. So whatever your involvement looks like, I want to invite you into whatever the next step could be. So if this is your first time listening, maybe it's just coming back next week. Or if you have been listening for a while, maybe it's jumping in and supporting the show through leaving a review on iTunes. Would love to read that on the show. Or it could be going and supporting us at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Again, $1, $5, $2, you get early access to episodes. So you could have been listening to this show as DreamHack Montreal was happening. I got to think about that a little bit. But go check it out and join the awesome team that's making this show happen. And there are three guys in particular who I really need to thank because they are absolutely making this show happen. That's Red Knight, Risen, and John M. Thank you three so much for being producers of the Happy Hearthstone. Truly can't thank you enough. Can't think of enough unique, clever things to say about my support and thankfulness of your support. But I try every single week. So seriously, you three mean so much to me. Thanks for supporting the show at the highest level. It truly wouldn't be what it is without each of you. And as always, I would love to hear what you thought about this show and what you'd like to see added for future episodes. It could be ideas. In fact, the interview with Runny Said actually came from a listener, Cantega. So Cantega, have to give you a shout out for that. Run's been a great part of the community, but he was the one who reached out and said, hey, I really want to hear her story. I was like, I do too. Let's make that happen. So I can't promise I can get everyone that you want on the show ever, but I'd be happy to try for just about anyone. So let me know if it's an interview with somebody, if it's a topic you want us to cover, or if you would like to even be on the show, email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. And would love to talk about any and all of those things. You can find me on Twitter at AndrewIsLiving. You can also find me on Twitch at AndrewIsLiving as well. Same thing as Run, that I might not have a set in stone schedule, but if you want to know when I'll be streaming, you can follow me on there and hit the notifications button. And you'll be sure to get a little notification here or there. And of course, you can find all things pertaining to this episode and all other episodes over at thehappyhearthstone.com. That's really all I've got. That's kind of a simple little way to wrap up the show. So hope you all are having a booming day. How long do we need to keep the boom anecdotes going on? Maybe until the conveyor belt comes to a halt? That's all I got. That's truly all I've got. But sincerely, I really appreciate you tuning in, listening to the show, being a part of this awesome community. Every single one of you means so much to me. So thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time.